irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody.
And got an echo.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And welcome to our show, the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. So, well, it was another great week out there. And folks, just when you think we've talked about nearly every aspect of coaching and life coaching and executive coaching and creative coaching and coaching parents with disability or parents with children with disabilities and on and on and on. Once again, I found a friend of ours, Anna, and she is going to talk to us about her background. And I did order the port book, by the way. It's sitting waiting to be read. And I am just fascinated, Anna, about what you do with helping coaches and even other professionals get more clients, find more clients, even if they hate marketing and all that. So we want to welcome Anna Malikian to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Welcome, Anna.
Hi.
Well, if you could tell us a little bit, I know
it's a
you
pleasure.
Have a,
yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Very much so. So I know you come from a psychologist background, and tell our listeners a little bit about your journey and you're here from Portugal to Arizona and what you're doing in the coaching space and with your offerings. So go ahead and give us a little
info. You already revealed the first mystery, that is people, where is my accent from? So if people were wondering when I say hello, I'm originally from Portugal, so it's the Portuguese accent that I have. And like you said, my background is psychology. When I moved in 2003 here to the United States, to Phoenix, Arizona, I decided to use my skills as a psychologist to become a life coach. And I did some extra training and I got certified by Institute of Life Coach Training. That is one of the schools from the International Coach Federation. So I came from academia. So I was decided to transition from clinical work in psychology to personal development to life coaching. So I speak at a great school. I did a training. I got the certification. And there I was. Okay, now I'm going to do a website for me and I'm going to be book solid with clients. And ta-da, ta-da, where are they?
I like the trumpets.
I didn't have plans. Because I came when I was in Portugal as a psychotherapist. I was everything right without knowing it. So I had a very specific niche that was, I was one of the few psychologists at the time in Portugal with good training in hypnosis. And I was working mainly with depression and anxiety problems. I was teaching in a private university there. So that gave me credibility and recognition in the north of Portugal. So people were phoning me to ask me where I was seeing other people. My students were coming up at the end of the class and asked me, I have my sister or I have somebody in my family that needs help. Where do you see patients? So I had to print business cards with the address of the place where was my practice. That was the marketing that I had to do to be book solid at the time. So I was totally unprepared.
That was easy. Yeah.
It was totally easy. I was totally unprepared to when I arrived to the United States that I literally, with all my great training, all my great credentials, I was a needle in the haystack and people could not find me. And I think that is the position of so amazing coaches out there that they find, okay, white people are not, I'm like the best kept secret.
Right. And Bruce, right. We were just talking about that earlier this morning, is so many coaches get excellent training and spend a lot of money on training and honing their skills, but then they don't know how to build a business. I do startup coaching, so I love to help people begin and start their businesses. And then they don't know how to continue to market, to expand and build it. So, yeah, it is. It's an issue for sure for a lot of folks that are quality coaches.
Yeah, and I think all of us here are members of the International Coach Federation, correct? At least I have the impression that Bruce, you are.
I'm accredited through the ICF, yeah.
And I'm a one of them. I'm almost there.
but you are a member of the ICF. So because I think it's a great organization, and I think they are doing an incredible job in terms of the promotion of coaching as a profession, and in terms of the coaching skills and making sure that the schools that train with their curriculum, they really are teaching great coaching skills to their students. But honestly, I'm one of
right.
the critics.
They require that the schools teach core competencies if they're accredited with them, yes.
But they don't require them to teach business skills. And most professional coaches are external coach. They will have their own business. They will be independent. They are not working to somebody else. And if they not own business skills, they will never be as successful as a professional coach. That is my opinion.
Absolutely.
Right. A lot of them are not equipped. They don't know how to build and start a business, build it and maintain it. Yeah, they don't. A lot of them come in and don't have those skills. I do teach. And in the school I teach for, we do teach marketing and business. And I do a lot of startup coaching. And I know that what you're saying is 100% correct, that they don't have that skill set and they really need it.
I was going to say, if you can give some talk a little bit about the program that you utilize for helping coaches stay booked. And I noticed that you mm-hmm. You had a thing about people getting more clients through their LinkedIn. So that's another sub area as well. So if you want to share a little bit about that, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So let me speak about the general model and then the specific model that we developed for LinkedIn. So in general, I'm trained as a Book Yourself Solid coach. The Book Yourself Solid is a system developed by Michael Port. He launched the first book called Book Yourself Solid in 2006, so 10 years ago. And it's really a system that has proven record to help most service professionals out to enroll more clients and works very well for coaches and consultants. And I trained with Michael, and then I became part of the team, and make a long story short, I became the director of education for the School of Coach Training to teach people to become Book Yourself Solid coaches. So I know the system inside out. And one of the things that we are always telling people, that sometimes if I'm giving a talk about this, I like to kid a little bit, saying that this is like a secret that no business or sales or marketing coach are going to tell you. And I get that suspense and the ears people are listening. And then I say, marketing, do not get you clients. And I get all the eyes like looking at me, like a little bit puzzled. And I repeat, marketing, do not get you clients. And in some phrases, I see like some relief, and I have to say, we still need to do marketing. Marketing is essential, but not enough. Because the true function of marketing is to create awareness about that you exist and what you have to offer. If people don't know that you exist, they will never going to buy from you. That is not enough. Now that they know that you exist and that you have something to offer, the first question in their minds is, can this person, you, the coach, help me get what I want? It's all about them. If the answer is no, they keep walking away. and looking for somebody that says that helps them get what they want. But if the answer is a clear yes, I help people like you get the results that you are looking for, then they are going to check you out. They are going to check your foundation. And if they feel secure that was really meant for them, they will give you the opportunity to earn trust. And then you can start to make sales offers that are proportionate to the amount of trust that you have earned. And then if you know how to price your offers and how to have a super simple sales conversation, then is when you enroll a client. And you really can make this a system that create the creation of awareness, the marketing activities, the referrals, the word of mouth that brings people to know about you, know about your services, making clear that you help people like them, checking your foundation, building trust and credibility, having the perfect price and super simple selling, and you have a system for marketing and sales in your coaching business.
Wow, that sounds very interesting. Now, is part of what y'all do is help write text for these clients to establish, it's almost like their vision, their mission, their credibility, their availability. I mean, are you guys also helping the composition of their text?
I will help in terms of the content. Like being English my second language, I'm not the best person to help in terms of the right English. I have copywriters that if a person needs help at that level, I refer them to some colleagues that do an incredible work of transforming the content in a way that is much more clear and sharp on the paper. But I will work personally with a person to define what we call their personal brand identity. How do they want to be known out there without being confusing, bland, or like everybody else? That is an essential part of your foundation. Because if we think about the personal branding, people have to have clear when we are out there, who do you help, especially so your target market, and what is the big result that you help them get. Having that two things clear, people, I say, are listening. That is like the hook, it's the headline, the title. They capture their attention. But if they don't relate with your why you do what you do, why do you get up in the morning to do the work we do, raining or shining out there, they will not take the next step that to know more about you, to see if you are the right person to engage with them and to help them. And that is a lot of work that I love to do in terms of personal branding and around the why.
Okay. Yes, the why you do what you do. And so when possible clients see this why, that attracts them to, let's say, the coach, and that gets them closer to making the sale or obtaining the client. Yes.
Because you connect at a human level, you connect in terms of your core values with other person. We don't have to be an exact match, but we have to be complementary in order. We want to attract our ideal clients. We want to attract the people with whom we do our best work. So, in the Book Yourself Solid system, we really think that this is one of the cores. You want to work with the people that allow you to do your best work, because guess what? When you are doing the best work, your clients are seeing results. They are spreading the word about what you are doing, and that is the best marketing in the world. And second, you are going to love what you are doing almost every minute of it. So you want to do more of it. You want to promote more what you do. So it's really a win-win for everybody.
Okay. Now, do the participants have to go through certain exercises and those things?
I will speak about, because the program is very comprehensive. I coach people one-on-one in the system, and I personalize the system to the needs that of the client that I have in front of me. There is also the online version of the program. Of course, the book with all the exercises, the last edition of the book is the illustrated edition, that the workbook is there with the illustrations that are really a great way of communicating the message in a visual way. And There is no excuse. Now you have to go this year to download the exercise. The exercise is there in front of you. You can write in the book. So it's really powerful for doing, not just to stay. Like I say, many people, including myself, we buy programs and then we put them in the shelf. Help.
Yeah, so, right.
That book and our programs and what we do in LinkedIn, we really want to emphasize the application. If you don't do the things, nothing is going to happen. It's not because you invest. That is the first step. You invest in a program, wonderful. But if you don't apply it, if you don't implement it, nothing is going to change. So that is, but I think as coaches, we know that we have to help people in the implementation, in the doing it part. It's not,
right.
There is a mindset that is essential to work, but then there is and I think the coaching is one of the arts of coaching, is that balance between the work of the mindset and then let's do it.
Right. Get into action. So your program encompasses a book, in-person training, as well as online training?
So in terms, I work mainly with online training, both in groups and one-on-one. And where okay. I specialize, so I have several business going on. I work with Michael Port to teach other business coaches on the Book Yourself Solid work for them to have a license to teach this system. That is one dimension of my work. And then I have my own company with two other Book Yourself Solid coaches, two other colleagues. We form a company that we specialize in helping coaches, consultants, and trainers. And now we also specializing in training companies, like a coaching school, for instance, on how to enroll clients using LinkedIn. Because LinkedIn is this powerful place that many people are not using to the extent that they can do, mainly if your target market is there. If you are working with B2B, business to business, if you are working like leadership coaches, executive coaches, if you work with corporations and you want to know who are the decision makers on the company, from small, medium, and large company, LinkedIn is the place to be, to get these important relationships going and get them engaged to get on the phone with you, to have a conversation and to get a contract.
Right.
So we really, the work that we do is in LinkedIn, that is the more clients, more fun we have the LinkedIn program. And what we do is that we understand that even somebody that has loads of experience, they have the foundation is there. They really have a solid foundation. They know what they are doing. They even have the credibility, like they can be a PCC in terms of the International Coach Federation or even MCC or ACC. So they have all the titles and all the letters after their name, all the credentials, and even experience to work with some big companies. But they are not enrolling in a consistent and predictable way high-value clients. There is like this gap. They think that, okay, if I achieve some these credentials, if I have this experience, the clients will come. No, there is this gap. It's like a coaching gap between where they are and where they can be in terms of enrolling high-value clients in a more consistent way or more predictable way. So the question is, how do we bridge this gap? How can we build our business to bridge this gap? And what we find is that we have to teach people, these coaches, consultants, and training in the day-to-day to balance two essential activities, that is asking and giving. Asking is asking for referrals, is knowing how to ask for strategical introductions to the right decision makers, is knowing how to do strategical direct outreach to get to, and we work mainly in LinkedIn, to get the right people to connect with you. Because you can get in front of the right people in LinkedIn and really get it in a very natural way to establish that relationships. But you really have to put, like a colleague, I have a colleague here in Phoenix that works a lot in sales. They say, we have to put our ask in gear. We have to be able to say what we want and ask for it. But that cannot be just, that is just one part of the equation, because if we are asking all the time, people are going to feel that we are draining their energy and not giving them something. So we have to also balance this with giving, with nurturing, like a core network of people that are colleagues, are potential clients, are other service professionals, that will keep us in the top of their mind when they know that somebody, like the type of people that we help, need the help that we offer. We are the first people that they think, oh, I know somebody that can help you.
Yes,
so, and we
yes.
have activities for that, where how can you nurture that core network of people that will be your best marketing in the world, because they are going to connect, they are going to be sending referrals, they are going to be sending you strategical introductions. And then if you nurture those relationships by also giving them, when you ask something, they are much more willing to do it. It's a very, but we have to keep the balance. We think that salespeople in general are very much on the ask side. They know very well how to ask directly. They are, but they miss a little bit of the giving, of the nurturing side. Coaches by nature are very good in the giving side, but they lack on the ask directly, the direct side. So achieving that balance, achieving that sweet spot, is really where you build this, like a bridge that will be like a seesaw that you have to balance to connect one side, the foundation and credibility, with the other side, the high value clients. And when you get that balance, people see a very steady and strong bridge that they walk through in a quick way, from knowing that you exist to checking you out to enrolling for a service with you.
Okay. Hey, Anna, could you dive in a little deeper for our audience in terms of, what are some of the ways that you train people or educate people in terms of giving to their connections, which then may lead to referrals and clients?
So in terms of the giving, so just we have in our program, so we know that it is, and that will answer your question, but I want to give the context to how this happens. So we help people in terms of LinkedIn, to be specific. So we use their LinkedIn profile as a place to reflect their branding, their main services, and that they are the right people to help a certain target market. Because what we find in many coaches that, oh, I have to have a professional website. Yes, it's true. It's great to have a professional looking website, but also takes a lot of time to create, and time and money. And mainly in that, if you work with startup coaches, you know that they change, the focus can change a lot in that first 1-2 years of coaching. And lots of people invest in a website, and then 1 year later, I have to redo my website because now my focus is different. This doesn't reflect what I'm doing here, but I invest $3,000 or $4,000 in a website. So what we are advising more and more each day is that people, okay, leave the website project a little bit in the side for now. Let's focus. Let's use the LinkedIn profile of your as your web hub, because the reality is that when somebody knows about you, they are going to Google your name. And even if you have a website, even if you have a very good website, most of the times your LinkedIn profile will show up at the top of your website. And even if it shows up below, it shows up in the first page, that usually does when somebody Googles your name. A person is going to click more in LinkedIn. It's almost like another a third party saying about you, like Wikipedia. Say you trust more that than your own website in terms of checking that person out. So if you build your LinkedIn profile to reflect that you help a group of people to achieve what they really want, that is extremely powerful. So we work on that, the creating the LinkedIn profile to reflect that you have a solid foundation and you have all the credibility builders there in place. And after that, we help them to establish a strategy of asking through, and I will give you examples when I arrive to the end of this, and then how to give, how to nurture the core network, and who put on their core network, and then how to engage people in a way that leads to sales conversations, and what to say and what to do in the sales conversation. That is the system that we teach in More Clients, More Fun, using LinkedIn and email, our primary tools. Then we have a protocol that we call the Daily Seven that is, okay, after you go all the programs, you really go deep into lots of templates, lots of examples. We have a weekly hour of coaching with our people in our program to help them if when they implement and they have doubts that they can come and we help them. So they go over the program, they are seeing the results, but then as so often happens, well, how do you do to maintain that? And how we maintain that energy going to be something that you can do every day in half an hour, 1 hour a day of marketing that generates clients. We have developed this that we call the Daily Seven Protocol. That is the A, B, C, D of giving and asking to create sales conversations. And what is in this A, B, C, D of giving and asking to create sales? The A is always share relevant information. So we are speaking, okay, if we come with a, let's say, a core group in our network, let's say maximum 100 people, we can start with 20, but we have a network of people that we want to know them better, them to know us better, and we have to give to cultivate those relationships by always sharing relevant information. They are going to love us because we are sharing relevant information with them. So we read an article. This is interesting. I think so-and-so will find it very helpful. We just forward that email. Somebody that reads a book per week. Oh, I read this book. I think so-and-so is going to love this book. And we send them, even once in a while, we can send them a book directly to their home. And sure, that is going to be something that person go, whoa, this person really is thinking of me. So that is the A, always share relevant information. The B is be the connector. Everybody loves people. And if we think about people that are very successful in the coaching world, even before the internet was what it is today, they are natural connectors. They are always connecting the right people in a relevant way that, oh, I know somebody. I know somebody's like almost that concept of neuropsychology of the rich hub, that neuron group that receive loads of fires and connections. And that becomes so, so important in the overall network. So if you be the connector. If you develop the habit of introducing the right people, people will remember you and be grateful for having you in their networks. So, and then the C is cultivate positivity, cultivate gratitude and compassion. Is really, and I think this can be very natural for most coaches to be there as a person, as to other people, and really if celebrate something with them, and Facebook is great for that, but if the person is a little bit going in a rough spot, also be there for them. So that ABCDs is that first basic things. And then the D is direct outreach, and that is asking. So the first three, A, B, C, is giving. You are giving to your network, your core network, but you also have to be able to ask. And direct outreach is when you outreach to somebody that is not yet from your network, but you love them to be part of your network of connections, people that if you send an email, they see your name and they say, oh, they're going to open because they immediately recognize as somebody relevant to them. The direct outreach, they are not there yet, but you want to bring them to that core group of people. But you have to be able to go outside often of your comfort zone to ask and to do direct outreach. So that way you have the A, B, C, and D. And then the giving part that we put explicit is in the fifth action, is the giving, is specifically think about who can I give a referral or an endorsement or a recommendation or a testimonial, and make that part of an almost daily practice to recommend somebody, to give a referral, that are extremely powerful ways of being present in your network, in your core network. And guess what is going to happen? People, when you do the sixth habit, that is asking for strategical introductions, referrals, and endorsements or testimonials, people are going to be much more open to make that that to you, because probably you already did to them that in the past. So, and then all these naturally creates opportunities to have sales conversations that we want people to think about every day. Do I have a sales conversation scheduled for today or for tomorrow? How can I create the opportunities for a sales conversation? Because if we are not doing sales, we are not feeding our business. So that is the daily seven. That is the way that we find to create that balance between the giving and the asking.
Terrific. What would you say in your own personal career is, you know, maybe the best thing you learned, which helped build your own personal coaching business?
To have a system, to understand, and to understand that marketing is communication. I really had to change my mindset around marketing and sales. When I was studying for become a psychologist in Portugal, we had different areas. In the last, we have at the time was a 5-year degree. The three first years were equal for everybody, and then the two last years were like you specialize in one of different branches in psychology. And the branch that I chose was clinical psychology, and another branch there was there also was industrial psychology. And I remember, and it was much more difficult to get into the group of the clinical psychology and then the industrial psychology. And I remember that we were very snobs about the industrial psychology. It was, of course, that is selling away the science of psychology. We are doing the novel work. They are selling away psychology. Because what are they going to do? They are going to help companies doing marketing. So for me, marketing and sales, I had a very negative view of what was that. And when I was starting my own business here in the United States, and I realized, oh, I have to do marketing and sales, and I hate marketing and sales. Okay, I think I have a problem here. And that is was one of the reasons that I was very attracted to the Book Yourself Solid system, because the let's see if I can grab the book here, because the the subtitle has to do. Let me just grab the book to really read the subtitle, because that is what I still remember when I read that subtitle.
This is
that
like,
I say I have to buy this book.
Yeah, even if you hate marketing, is one of the
The fastest and easiest and most reliable system of getting more clients that you can handle. Even if you hate marketing and selling. When last sentence, I said, that is me. Okay, let's see what this guy has to tell me that can help me, because I hate marketing and selling. And who could tell me that 2 years later I was falling in love with marketing and selling and teaching marketing and selling? That is the terms that life gives us. So that mindset shift for me was essential. And find a way of marketing activities and selling activities that is in alignment with my values, that I feel that I'm helping more people. This is my way of reaching more people. It's not like a slightly like the sales. I think when we heard about the word sales, we think about, we think about the car lot when we go buy a car and we are looking to a car and we have two people in like trying to sell us something, and we feel, or the cold calling, somebody calling in when we are having dinner, when we are relaxing in front of television. Really, the word really gets very bad connotation. And we are really like Daniel Pink speaks in his book, Sell is Human. That we are really just, it's moving people. We are, if we have something that we know that helps people, we want to spread the word about it.
Right.
And we
right.
want to have them engage in the process and do the things. And that is selling. We are selling something that is valuable for a certain group of people, can be life-changing, and I think is ethical and a problem if we don't know how to position out there with a clear message about what we do and how can we help them.
Right. And I heard you say that, you know, do the sales and do the marketing efforts that are in alignment with who you are. And yeah. so to me, what that says is do the things that resonate with you, and what yes. may work for some people may not work for others. It's like do the activities yes. that you enjoy getting up and doing every day. Otherwise, it's not going to come across as you love your yeah. work.
Yeah, and you have to have fun. You have to find a way of having fun in this process. Otherwise, you are not going to do it. So that is why we emphasize so much networking with that core group of people, because usually coaches and consultants they love to help. They love to be there. The giving is something that comes very naturally. So we say, okay, keep giving in a very strategic way, keep doing that, perfect that, you are good, it's your strength. But at the same time, you have to find a way, not just, I don't like to ask, I'm not going to ask directly, they will read my mind. You know, or they say, we also coach them. No, okay, you have to stretch yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone, and you can do that in a way that's still in alignment with your values.
Right.
It's not that in coaching that we are helping people to stretch outside of their comfort zone, but keeping in line with their mission and their purpose.
Right. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
But sometimes so many coaches, I don't feel comfortable, I don't like. Okay, let's find a way that you feel a little, the comfortable part in the beginning I cannot promise, but a way that is in alignment with your values, you are going to stretch outside your comfort zone. Yes, you are going to feel some uncomfortable sensations, but then you are going to get used to have some level of discomfort and really learn important things for you and your business.
Do you actually help people with the sales discussion? Do you help them script
oh, yes.
ways to ask?
Yes. We don't like the scripting is a little bit, how to say, we work a lot what to say, and we have exercises to speak about what you do. They have, okay, in this situation, on that, you could say this and this and that. So we do loads of that script work, but then we one thing that we like to emphasize, okay, then forget, this is to prepare the content, but then you want to forget all the scripts. You want to have a conversation. We have a structure that we call the four-part formula to an effective sales conversation. Mm-hmm. That we emphasize is a conversation. We can have that structure. It's like coaching. Let me say you have a structure. You know that you want to take them to a certain process, but you have to listen to them and then adapt themselves in the moment.
So it goes obviously well beyond the elevator speech, right? And the tagline.
Yeah.
It's a conversation. It's a discourse.
Oh, yeah. Because we used to, it's one of the things that we do in the training for the Book Yourself Solid School of Coach Training. We say our trainees there, we are in a mission of killing the elevator speech. And again, we have all the eyes looking at us. Yes, we want to kill the elevator speech. And then we go, does anybody here love listening to an elevator speech? And rarely we have somebody that, or there is somebody here that love giving an elevator speech. Nobody likes to give, or most people, no generalizations, it's always a problem. Most people don't like either giving or listening to the elevator speech. So, yes, we have to have a way of saying in a clear and succinct way about what we do. But there are ways that are more conversational of doing this, more natural of doing this than giving a 30-second or 1 minute spiel. What do you do? Blah, 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 blah. And then at the end say, okay, thank you so much, I'm going.
Well, you know that That's kind of the old school way of introducing yourself and what you do is the elevator speech.
I think it's the first attempt to get somebody comfortable talking about themselves. Yes. If somebody says, "What do? You've got to have a comeback. So it's the beginning of the conversation.
Exactly. And we like to see this in that sense. So what when somebody asks you, "What do you do?" they are expecting a professional category. And it's very interesting in the English language because you are asking, "What do you do?" And people reply, "I am."
Yes.
I am a lawyer, a doctor, I am a coach.
That's interesting, huh?
We don't advise that because that is putting ourselves in a box of the concept, the preconception that person has about that profession. I'm a coach. Oh, a sport coach? Or are you a coach? What is that? If it starts a conversation, it will not be a bad thing. But usually we don't advise people to say that professional category because it doesn't lead to a beginning. We like a conversation starter, not a conversation end. So we advise people to start that. If somebody asks, "What do you do?" I will say something as, if I'm a coaching meeting, I help coaches enroll more clients using LinkedIn. And usually people go, "Oh, interesting, LinkedIn. Enrolling more clients. Can you tell me more about it?" So when you get the reaction of after you say what you do, that people, "Can you tell me more about it?" that you know that you are starting a conversation. And the problem of the elevator speech, and I have to say, there are people that have that the unique sales proposition. That is a concept that I like more than elevator speech. Very well crafted. That is clear, is precise, is unique. Make it ask, "Okay, can you tell me more about it?" But if whatever you are saying after somebody is saying, "What do you do?" doesn't lead to, "Can you tell me more about it?" or "I know somebody that maybe can you can help," you have to rework that.
Right. You definitely want them to lean in and ask.
Exactly. And then you want to ask about them, make it a conversation. "So are you a coach? Okay. So tell me, how do you enroll your clients nowadays? What is the biggest source of clients that you have?" You start asking them, knowing, and then you can adapt your answers to meet what they are looking for. Or sometimes you conclude, "Okay, they are looking for somebody different than I am, but I know that person in my network. I know somebody that can help you, that she specializes in helping people with exactly the same, the challenge that you are describing. Do you mind if we change cards and you give me your email and I do an email introduction to this person?"
Yeah, that's perfect.
Excellent.
Because otherwise we lose the opportunities. And that is something for the coaches that I see. A big problem in the internet and in LinkedIn in particular, because usually most coaches, say in person events, they have the elevator speech sometimes, but they love connecting with people, even introverts, because there are many introverts in the coaching world, but they are excellent listeners and introverts in general. I know that these are generalizations, but many introverts are excellent listeners and they like to listen, they like to ask questions and all that. So they connect in a deep level when they are in an in-person situation. Sometimes when they fail is in the follow-up. They have a great 10-15 minutes conversation there. They even exchange a business cards. But then if there is no follow-up, and the follow-up can say, "Okay, can I connect with you in LinkedIn?" Okay, I will send you a LinkedIn connection request. And then when they connect and accept, follow up with a message. And then, "Oh, do you want to get on the phone or go for a coffee?" Keep that conversation going. Things don't happen from, even if somebody has a very powerful conversation with you and they think, "Okay, this person has a solid foundation, seems very credible, and he helps people like me get what I want, but I'm not sure yet." If it's just that, then they forget it. But if you keep there as a resource, like the giving part, sending them relevant information, connecting them with other persons that are relevant to them, cultivating the positivity, the gratitude, and then it's easier for them when it's the right moment for the potential client to say, "Okay, can you tell me more about your services?" but I think now is the right moment for me. And that makes it very easy to have a sales conversation.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah, that's always a an awkward moment, you know, to you know, people go through the training, they have the techniques, and then, man, getting up there to make the sale is always a very vulnerable, you know, that's the very vulnerable aspect of the whole process.
Yes, totally. And if at the same time they start to see the sales conversation as a conversation, okay, that is why sometimes I like to say you have to not to do a sales conversation, but you have to do or create the opportunity to have a sales conversation, even if it doesn't become a sales conversation, but at least have the potential to be a sales conversation. So you just want, you are curious about what that person, what kind of resources that person needs. And taking that perspective, you say, okay, let's have, sometimes you want to be direct. Let's have a call. If a person asks about your service, you would say, okay, let's have a call to see if my service are the right match to help you in getting what you want. But in another situation that you are just having a networking call to know the person a little bit better, the initial structure can be very similar. You can ask them, okay, tell me a little bit, what is your goal? Very coach-like, where do you want to go? I love to start with, imagine that we are speaking 12 months from today, and you are celebrating all the great things that you achieved in your business in the last 12 months. Tell me, what are those things?
That's a great question.
And then when people start to tell me, I want to dig a little bit. I want to know why is that. Okay, I want to be book solid. I want to have not be running after clients, have really good quality clients. Why is that important for you? You have to know the motivation. You have to know a little bit about their why, even to evaluate if you connect at that level. And then you clarify a little bit where they are at the moment. You know where they want to go. Guess what is this? This is a coaching gap. A, point A, where you are now. B, where you want to go. Coaches have the training to clarifying the gap. A and B. What you cannot do in the sales conversation is throw the kitchen sink on them to try to bridge the gap. That is not to do.
Right. I think that's a very soft sell way to begin what I would call a coaching conversation, right, that you said. Imagine a year from now. Tell me about the accomplishments you're celebrating in your life, if everything worked out the way you wanted it to.
Yeah, and then what you have to do...
I mean, you could ask anybody that question.
Yeah, yes. And then what you have to hold yourself and your coaching and your training, not to coach the gap, to closing the gap. That is the secret. You want to use that time that you have with the person to clarify. That is also very important in the coaching process. You are there to listen, to ask questions, to clarify and even amplify as much as you can the gap. Define very well where they are now, where they are want to go. And then if you see that your services, what you have to offer is a roadmap, is the bridge from where they are now to where they want to go, you can very naturally ask them, okay, I understand that you are here, you want to go there. Do you want somebody to help you to go from A to B? And if they say yes, okay. Do you want that person to be B? Because, you know, I specialize in helping people, my clients doing that. I bridge that gap to my clients. I give them the roadmap to arrive from A to B. And by what we spoke so far, you look like an ideal client for me, the people with whom I do my best work. You are very interested in learning new things. Do you really are in a mission of making a difference? So you really, but you have to be very honest and knowing who are the people with whom you do your best work. And if you saw that qualities during the conversation, you want to reflect and summarize that back to the person. And then most of the times people are going to ask, so great, I'm really interested. Can you tell me a little bit more how that will work? Mm-hmm. And then is where you speak about the features. Okay, I see people in this, I usually do a 12-session package that gives us enough time to see the results. And you go to the detail and then the pricing. But they have to say, I'm interested.
I'm in. That's a great way to roll a conversation into a future client. Fabulous. We really appreciate you sharing that with us. I think we have
we're out of time.
Yeah, Anna, that was fabulous. Thank you so much for your coming on the show and your support of the coaching profession and just, you know, reaching out to help coaches build more business.
Yeah, I'm passionate about helping other coaches really to learn about marketing and sales, because I would say having a coaching business is, even if you have a no profit, you have to be on the black. You cannot be on the red. You have to build your business as a coach to give you the lifestyle you deserve. We invest so much in coaching training that we deserve to help people and be rewarded by that work.
Yes, and be successful at it. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, Anna. Thank you so much for coming. All right, folks. Well, that is it. Another great week here on the Concierge Coaches Show. She was just passionate. You know what I mean? She's just so passionate what she does and the methodology and just believes in it. And it sounds like it really works for her clients. It sounds like a really solid system with a lot of great fundamentals. So with
that,
bid you a great week, everybody. We'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net and come see us on the LA Talk Radio page. And Cindy, how about your contact?
I can be reached at wisdomfoods.com, and also that's my website, and also at 714-943-6206. Hope everybody has a fabulous Tuesday and a great week ahead.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.